no doubt, dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help. We'll direct your prayerful attention this morning to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11, the 30th verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let me just remind you of the basis of this precious letter, the Epistle to the Hebrews. These Hebrews had been converted from Judaism, that is, the traditional religion of the Jews. But after their conversion, they began to make comparison. What they had formerly was a majestic building, a temple, a priesthood robed in gorgeous apparel, sacrifice, and all manner of institutions. Under their newfound faith, they had nothing substantial that they could lay hold of. And the apostle sets out in this letter to them to show them that the glory of Christ far excels and exceeds all beside. And we have a number of comparisons that the apostle makes. He begins by comparing Christ as being greater than the prophets. He continues with that comparison of Christ far better than the angels. Christ a greater than Moses, a higher priest than Aaron. And so he goes through his epistle. And then in the 10th chapter, he sums up, as it were, by bringing to their knowledge and understanding that these things have to be apprehended by faith. That we walk by faith and not by sight. And then in the 11th chapter, the chapter in which our text is found, we have a great long list whereby the apostle demonstrates to the Hebrews, to the Jews, those who from the beginning have walked by faith, that overcoming, overwhelming faith, that despite everything, won them through in the end. Now faith, the apostle begins, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. then the subject, I trust, the Lord has laid upon my heart and upon my mind, is the great subject of faith. And we are reminded in the Word of God that without faith, it is impossible. It is an impossibility to please God. And if we cannot please God, then we must reckon that God's frown is upon us. This then is a great subject. And we need much help of the Holy Spirit to seek to expound it to you this day. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let us just for a moment consider the situation regarding God's covenant people. God, with a high and mighty hand, had delivered his ancient people out of the bondage of Egypt. For 40 long and weary years he had suffered their bad manners in the wilderness. And now, for the most part, the descendants of those who had come out of Egypt, that is, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, were about to enter into the promised land. The book of Joshua begins by reminding us of the death of Moses and of Joshua now taking that place to lead his people in. We see in this Joshua as a lively type, as his very name suggests, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, as you know, stood between God and the people, and on many times interceded on their behalf. And now this young man, Joshua, needed great courage, needed great faith to take the people on and bring them into that possession which God had promised unto them. Let us just stop there a moment. Let us try and see the spiritual teaching that this gives unto us. Because the Lord, in many examples, has brought this before us as the life of a believer. First, we have to be brought out of the Egypt of our sin. We have to be brought into the wilderness. Have we passed through the Red Sea? Have we come upon that bank of safety? Can we sing with Miriam the song of Moses, the song of the redeemed? He hath bought me and washed me in his own blood. Oh, the mercy of God in saving poor, how deserving sinners. And bringing them forth to take away their condemnation, to set them upon that road that leads them at last to glory, to heaven. Are you favored, dear child of God, to be found in the wilderness today, in that place of the trying of your faith? the testing of your obedience, the working out of your patience, the bringing forth of your endurance. Are you a Joshua? Are you a Caleb who shall come into that heavenly possession? 40 long years. And how necessary, how needful that Israel might know, how needful that a child of God may learn dependence, complete dependence upon their God. But there comes a time when there is the entering in. This is the substance of the things hoped for. This is the evidence of the things not seen. To enter in at last to that possession is the hope of every believer. We trust, says the hymn writer, we shall be saved at last. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is this your religion? Is it Jesus only? Is Christ the one thing needful? And so the Lord brings his ancient people over the swellings of Jordan into that promised possession. But with the ancient people of God, they had to disperse the Canaanite and the Hivite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite and all the rest of them. They had a great work yet to do. And having passed over Jordan, and remember that this was no mean number, it is reckoned that something like 1 million people came out of Egypt. Many had been born in that 40-year journey. Their numbers had greatly swelled. And although 2 tribes stayed this side Jordan, yet the armies of all 12 tribes went to possess the land. And this put them in a very vulnerable place, naturally speaking. They could not go back. Those swollen waters had now once more taken up their position. They could not escape. They had to go forward. But to go forward was no easy task. Before them stood the city of Jericho. And this city of Jericho, as the spies had come and brought report formally unto Moses, was, as was said, walled up to heaven. This was no mean city. Its great walls stood as towers, an impregnable fortress. Now, God had wrought wondrously on the behalf of his people. He had put the fear of Israel into the inhabitants of Jericho. And although there were mighty men of valor, a powerful army, a strong people, yet because the fear of God came upon them, they were straitly shut up. Now this was the dilemma. To go any further they must overcome Jericho. They could not proceed until Jericho was, as it were, out of the way. But how could they possibly defeat Jericho? I mentioned that for 40 years they had wandered through the wilderness. It speaks of the men of war, but really this was an army ill-equipped. It had no artillery. It had no real weapons of war. And in this sense also, they stood vulnerable. Is it not so often in our experience that we try and consider things in our own strength? We try and deal with things on a natural basis. And this, sadly, is our great mistake. We try and deal with things without God. Now, it was God who, by that cloudy pillar by day and fiery pillar by night, had directed them every step of the way. It was God that had directly commanded to go and take the city of Jericho. But natural reasoning says this is impossible. And how many times do we come there? The thing is impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. And this is a great lesson that faith learns for us. That by faith, all things are possible. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that faith, as a grain of mustard seed, and you know what a grain of mustard seed is like, it's immensely small. Faith, as a grain of mustard seed, it is able to displace a mountain. We feel at times to have no faith. And it seems as though our faith is so small that it doesn't even have the resemblance of a grain of mustard seed. But a little faith that a man has is able to do wonderful things. And yet we have to learn this lesson. Faith, though the smallest, will surely be tried. And as the Apostle Peter reminds us, that the trial of your faith, that is yours individually, mine individually, the trial of that faith is more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. And it is through floods and through flames that the trial of faith must go. But when we come to faith, we find that impossible things are made possible. Now just look at the situation here, naturally speaking. Israel had come against Jericho. Jericho was straitly shut up through fear of the Israelites. I mentioned that the Israelites had no artillery. They couldn't shoot arrows over the wall and hope to conquer it thereby. They had no battering rams that they might break down the gates of the city of Jericho. They had no ladders whereby they might ascend the walls, those high walls of the city. They had no weapons of any standing that could do them any good. In comparison, they were but a small people. They were but few. The Lord reminds us in that precious portion in the 7th of Deuteronomy that these people were smaller than all the nations round about them. But he had chosen them because he loved them. And so it seemed an impossible task upon this ground. But then consider the instruction that God gave unto his servant Joshua. They were to take the Ark of the Covenant, that which contained the law given to Moses upon the two tablets of stone, and those precious things, the rod of Aaron, the budding, etc. That which resembled and reminded them of God's presence with them. They were to carry this ark with the men of war going before and a guard of people, a rear ward behind. And they were to walk around the city. The priests, we are told, were to carry trumpets and to blow the trumpets. And here again, notice that these were not silver trumpets. You know, the Lord had commissioned Moses to make silver trumpets for the priests to sound. But here, they were not to use those silver trumpets. They were to use, if I might put it this way, ordinary trumpets. Trumpets of ram's horns. And there they were to go and walk around that city and return to their camp. And for 6 days, they were to do the same. And on the seventh day, they were to go around the city 7 times. And at the concluding time, the people, at the given signal, were to shout. Previously, they had to be silent. What a discipline that must have been to them, to walk silently around that city. And then God said, this having been accomplished, the walls of Jericho would fall down. Now, to natural reason, this was, if nothing, ridiculous. And does it not seem that to us at times, when we use natural reason, the thing is so impossible, so incredible, that we do not believe it. Now, if Joshua had used but natural reasoning, we speak carefully that those walls of Jericho would never have come down. It was through faith. Faith not only in Joshua, but faith in a number of those people who compassed the walls of Jericho that brought defeat and destruction to that city. Now, what lesson can we draw from this account? How many times are we reminded in the New Testament of some of the historical events of the Old Testament. How this shows unto us the relevance of every part of God's world. That all is for our profit and for our instruction. All is for our teaching, that we might learn the ways of God. And oh, to be like the Bereans, to take these things to the Word of God to see if these things be so. My dear friends, we need to be much reading, marking, learning, inwardly digesting the Word of our God. Faith, we are reminded, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Lord has instituted this way, that through the foolishness of preaching, sinners should be converted unto Him. God still, even in this solemn day in which we live, raises up His servants to go forth and declare His message. And you know, there are times when we come to preach, when we wonder at the message that we must bring. And yet the Lord says, preach the preaching that I bid thee. Well, may the Lord make this profitable to us, that we might learn of Him. Now, there are several things that we might gain instruction from in these words. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And there's a great significance in the fact that it was 7 days. The Lord, by this time, had appointed the Sabbath day. And yet, you see, the instruction was 7 days. You know, seven in Scripture is generally reckoned to be perfection. This needed perfect obedience to the will of God. And this is the first thing, really, that comes out of faith. Faith worketh obedience. It is a contradiction in terms to say that we have faith in God and that we are not obedient to His commands. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? If or as ye love me, keep my commandments. We must believe that He is, that is, He is God, and that He is the rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. Now, are there among us those seeking, inquiring souls? Are there those among us who are exercised in the exercises of faith? Faith cometh by hearing. And you've come with that desire in your heart. Lord, that which I know not, teach thou me. In an unregenerate state, that is, in a state by nature, we have no desire for the things of God. But when the Spirit of God begins to work in our hearts, one of the first things that he will do, he will give us a love for the truth. We will read our Bibles. And we will seek, by prayer and supplication, by meditation, to learn these glorious truths. We will also come under a discerning ministry. We will come to a place where we believe God has sent his servants. How sad and how solemn it is in the day in which we live, that so many people avail themselves of the means and yet go to a place where there are blind leaders of the blind. Unless the servant of God, and he must be a servant of God, has been taught by the Holy Spirit, then he has nothing that he can teach us of. He must first handle, taste, and see the things of God before he can declare it unto others. We don't send our ministers to Bible colleges. We don't send them to places of learning. And why is this? It is because we believe that we need one teacher, and that teacher must be the Holy Spirit. And what he teaches will be reality. You see, real religion is the religion of experience. The old ministers so often used to preach from this, ye must be born again. And they used to say, well, why do you keep preaching from this text, ye must be born again? And the answer came, because ye must be born again. You see, the new birth, it is vital. Unless we experience this, we know nothing of the things of God. To have the life of the Spirit in our souls is essential to know anything about religion. But you see, there is a walking out of faith. There is an obedience of faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You think of the obedience displayed by Joshua and the people of Israel at this time. Now, natural reason might say, well, surely after 6 days, that's sufficient. Whatever is to be learned will be learned. Therefore, let us do it 6 days. Let us not go to the whole 7. If they had walked only 6 times, the walls of Jericho would never have fallen down. The Lord demands perfect obedience. You remember when the Lord spake unto Moses in the holy mount. He gave him instruction concerning the tabernacle and all that appertained unto it. And if you read through the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll see the minute detail of the instruction that was given unto Moses. And the Lord on a number of occasions said unto Moses, see, thou do it unto the pattern given unto thee in the mount. Now, Moses was a mighty man of God. Moses was held in great esteem among the Jews, and he should be held in great esteem among us. Truly, he lived close to God. He is a wonderful example unto us, even today. But Moses had no license to interpret the rules of God as he saw fit. He must do it exactly as God had commanded him. There was no leeway for Moses to put his own interpretation upon any single part of it. Everything had to be done exactly as God commanded. And so when the Lord said unto Joshua, compass the city of Jericho seven times it must be encompassed. Every last detail must be exactly to the mind and will of God. And let me just state this. Is it not so in our interpretation of Scripture? Man today, especially today, seeks to interpret Scripture with man's understanding. This will never do. There is only one interpretation of Scripture. And perhaps I can speak this to you young people. As you go out into the world, you'll meet with many others who have different versions, so-called, of God's word. People who have many different ways and different understandings of the teachings of Scripture. Carefully examine. Is God's seal upon it? Is there a thus saith the Lord according to that word? The Lord says, try the spirits to see of what sort they are. Are they the spirit of God, or are they the spirit of the world, which truly is the spirit of the devil? Now we must take these things carefully and examine them in the light of Scripture, in the light of the whole tenor and counsel of God's word, to see if these things be so. And we must adhere exactly to the teaching that is given us. In this last chapter, in this epistle to the Hebrews, Paul reminds them, he says, remember them which have the rule over you, that is, the pastors and ministers who have been sent of God to instruct you, remember them who have spoken unto you the word of God. And then it says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. As if to much to say, follow them as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ and no other. If they err from the truth, you are not to follow them. This is the end of all things. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whose faith follow? Where they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then follow that example of faith. As much as it leads to Jesus, but where there is teaching and instruction that turns away from Jesus, turns you to the right hand or to the left, both errors are error. then we are not to follow. Obedience is a demonstration that we have faith in God. Without faith, remember, it is impossible. We cannot please God without faith. Faith is the gift of God. We have to be given faith. We cannot bring forth faith of ourselves. And some of you who perhaps have been in the way many years will know that even today, you cannot give yourselves faith. We cannot bring faith of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And so we constantly need that prayer. Lord, increase my faith. But have we faith? And this is the ground and foundation of all true religion. Have we faith? Have we faith in the Son of God? Have we faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, it is when the Holy Spirit teaches us that he will reveal that faith. And as I say, the first evidence of that faith is obedience to the will of God. Thy will be done on earth and as it is in heaven. Was it not with Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord met him upon that road to Damascus, when that light shone brighter than the noonday sun, when he met with the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord called him out of nature's darkness into his most marvelous light? Where was the obedience of that faith given to Saul of Tarsus? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord didn't answer him, perhaps as he might have thought. He said, go into the city, and it will be shown thee what thou must do. Faith then cometh by hearing. This is God's appointed word. He has sent forth his servants to preach the gospel. And as we hearken unto the gospel's joyful news, then it is, as the Lord is pleased to give faith in our hearts to believe. And as and when we believe, we must walk out that faith. To be born again is to be separated, to have that distinguishing mark, to forsake those former things, to leave behind our former lives, to be created anew. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, our time is gone. We must leave it there. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Acknowledge the Lord's goodness in the collections last Lord's Day, which amounted to £214.60. God willing, Mr. Jemson is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, next Lord's Day. Mr. West will, God willing, preach in the morning, and Mr. Izzard in the evening, and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be attended to after the evening service. And Mr. Pickett has agreed address the Sabbath school this afternoon at 2:30. Let us close the singing hymn number, or part of hymn number 233. 33, commencing to sing at the third verse, tune Gabriel 741. The sinner that truly believes and trusts in his crucified God, his justification receives, redemption in full through his blood. Though thousands and thousands of foes against him in malice unite, their rage he through Christ can oppose, led forth by the Spirit of divine. Not all the delusions of sin shall ever seduce him to death. He now has the witness within, rejoicing in Jesus by faith. This faith shall eternally fail when Jesus shall fall from his throne, for hell against both must prevail, since Jesus and he are but one. The 233rd hymn, commencing at verse 3.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, rest upon and abide with us, now and for evermore. Amen.